Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for October the 13th. This is a study session, and the first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for our October the 17th regular council meeting. So, council, please take a look at that agenda. I know we do have some presentations, but I think we're from staff, but the plan is to do that at the conclusion of just going through to see if anybody wants to take anything off of consent. Items three are various liquor license applications. Four.
I can't really wait for the algae biomass organizations event. I mean, that sounds really riveting.
Combining that with alcohol sounds particularly exciting.
Is that safe?
Yeah, I don't know.
We did a safety review
on that one.
Or that's what they're drinking. I don't know. We need three.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cavanaugh, is there something under agenda item three that has your attention?
Yes, Mayor, I just wanted to dispel the rumor that I'm behind all the District 3 liquor license applications that are on our agenda. I think it's a record for my four terms on council to have this many in one meeting. So I think it's just a reflection of the economic development activity occurring
in
District 3.
I'm sure.
No, it's preparation for you drowning your sorrows after you leave council.
Well, that's it.
Well, we'll track that. We'll see if it spikes downward after your departure. Item four is exciting. We're having finally a bingo application, so plan accordingly. Item five are various contracts. And again, we have some presentations, but I think we'll get those at the end of the going through the calendar or the schedule. Item six are various resolutions. I know we do have some presentations on 6A and 6J that we'll have here in just a moment. Under item 7, we have various resolutions, including, John, could you tell us a little bit about the new program with the Washington Escobedo neighborhood being our first awardee? Sure.
Yes, Mayor. Council, good morning. As you'll recall, a couple months ago, I made a presentation to council about the new Heritage Neighborhood designation that we've been working on. So item 7A on your agenda is to formally adopt that program. Item 7B is then to recognize the Washington Escobedo neighborhood as the first of those heritage neighborhoods. And I mentioned at the time that we'd be working on signage similar to our historic districts that we would use for the heritage district. So I just wanted to show you what the mock-up that the Transportation Department has helped us with. Appreciate their help for the neighborhoods. That would be the individual street sign. And then the neighborhood entry sign. Again, looks very much like the historic district. Got a different logo on it and says Heritage Neighborhood, but this is what we're planning to help with that recognition of these neighborhoods as they get approved.
Thank you very much. So those look great, and I think that'll be a real source of pride for that community. So I think that's really great. Thank you. Well, so that'll be approved on Monday, and then when do the signs go up?
I'll be working with the Transportation Department to finalize the signs and get them up over a period of time.
Great.
Fairly quickly.
Well, thank you very much. Anything under council, anything under agenda item 8, introducing various ordinances? 9 is adopting a subdivision plat. So currently nothing's off of the consent agenda, but Mr. Brady, I know that staff has some presentations for us on some of these items. Is that right?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think the first item we'd like to bring forward is 5J. So if we could have a presentation on, and it really is, I guess, related to the 2A on your agenda also. There's multiple items. I think 5J and 6A may be items that are all tied together about our shared use pass that we're taking on.
Good morning, Mayor and members of council. I'm Lenny Hume, the Transportation Department Director. As you mentioned, there are three items on there, two IGAs and actually a construction contract on our multi-use path program that we have. Mr. Brady asked me to do a quick little presentation. I only have 5 slides, so it won't take too long. Just to kind of quickly go over what we have. The first one I want to talk about, let me back up here a little bit. Is one we finished in the summertime, and many remember, we finished the Porter Park pathway, which is happens to be right, ironically, over next to Porter Park, which is A Street and Mesa Drive. And it ties in, if you look on your map, it ties in with the Eisenhower School and the Porter Park and Keenel Pool area and school. And it continues on the backside of this area, again, Mesa Drive and 8th Street. Brown is here, and it crosses with the signalized intersection at Brown and ties into the consolidated canal pathway. Now, we do have traffic counters on these, and we're averaging nearly 70-plus people a day up and down that path, and that just got put in. Another project that we just newly named is the Stadium Connector, which we've heard as the West Mesa Connector. We've heard all kinds of things. It's now the new Stadium Connector. That is on your agenda for the contractor contract, and also has a little bit of an IGA with ADOT to tie in so we can tie into the Rio Salado Pass. So this ties in at Dobson, right behind there near Bass Pro, follows along the canal bank, goes up to Alma School, and then we actually have another contract that will be coming shortly to Council at JOC to do the West Mesa Connector, which takes it down Alma School, down through 10th Street Calming Project that takes it down Alma School to 10th Street around 8, and then it picks up again with the Stadium Connector, ties the two stadiums together, both Sloan Park and Holcomb Park. That one's going to be should be completed by the May of early summer of 17. Both these projects would be kind of going in conjunction. Another one is that's on there. You have a IGA there with ADOT to take over some of the right of way in this area here, which is a southeast pathway, which is baseline 202 area. The first phase we have of construction, we're trying to get all the way up to Elliott. Some of our funding, we're just still kind of working out the funding. We're 90% complete with the design. We expect that construction to be finished in the fall of 17. This will tie in. The whole point of this one here is to tie this path all the way into the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. And in the future, we're continuing to reach out for grants and all kinds of opportunities we take, but also to tie into the power line section here, which is near Elliott. If I can get the mouse to work here, right here, is to tie in this area here so we can link that into an existing path that is there, gets us up close to the Signal Butte Park and area, and that whole area is to kind of tie it together, Eastmart, bring that community together. And as I mentioned earlier, every one of the paths we put in, we do have counters and systems to track what we have out there. And one of our highest one we have active right now is the Consolidated Canal. And we have a counter near Main and the Consolidated Canal, which is just east of Gilbert Road. And that one is getting over 200 hits a day. As the mayor mentioned a while back, that our multi-use paths are becoming our new golf course. We get a lot of activity out there on these paths, and we get a lot of positive feedback from the residents.
Thank you, Lenny. Great presentation. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Lenny. I appreciate the work you and your staff are doing on this. These are very popular that we've seen throughout the city, and we started the process a long time ago, and it's nice to see these coming together at this time. I'm hoping that in the future, as we look at additional opportunities for paths or bond issues, that we remember in West Mesa, actually about a dozen years ago, we were promised similar pathways along our southern border with Chandler and our western border with Tempe in terms of those canals that form our boundary. And I think what we see here is great use by the public, a great improvement to create some multimodal transportation here. So I'm hoping that the council and the city will consider remembering the promises that were made a long time ago that got dropped in after 2004, and then we look at them again, because I think what you're telling us, Lenny, is that we can do these, we can do them well, the public will respond very positively to them.
That's correct, Vice Mayor. We've been really focusing. The next CIP coming up has a lot of projects in there that we've identified, trying to bring things more connectivity with not just the city of Mesa, but also our neighbors, and you continue the path. The Rio Salado Pass is a prime example. Tempe, you can just head right on down the canal, go right to the stadium tunnel, the tunnel crossing. You don't have to have any conflicts with vehicles at all. You can travel up and down these paths, and we're excited about that. And then continue down into the Dobson, Dobson Road area there and Riverview. So, and then to go along with that, you know, some of the Fiesta District examples where we widen the sidewalks, we have counters out there, so we're trying to promote the multimodal things and tracking what activity's going on, and we really see a big jump in the use of these paths.
Thank you. Well, I just amen to what Mr. Kavanaugh said. I think that coming to Arizona, I think people are sometimes struck with this canal system that we have, you know, zipping through neighborhoods and towns, and it really is one of the things that's unique about our community, and it's one of the, I think every community has to play the cards they're dealt, and this is actually a huge blessing that we have this opportunity for these linear parks to connect neighborhoods and cities. I enjoy going out and exercising on the canal in the morning, and it is a traffic jam. And my neighborhood is like every neighborhood in town. So I think the public really appreciates this, and I'm pleased that this is a priority for us, and because there's still a lot left to do. There's a lot of neighborhoods that would love to have a Porter Park, you know, going through their back alley so that they can get out and enjoy the great weather that we have here in Arizona. So. Congratulations. This is great progress, and certainly I will be encouraging us to continue the process as much as we possibly can afford. Thank you, Lenny. Great presentation. Next item, Mr. Brady.
5M, we have a presentation on our transit shelter advertising program.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. My name is Jody Sorrell. I'm the Transit Services Director. On Monday's agenda, there's an item to award a contract for a transit advertising vendor. This is a project we've been working on for a long time, and it's taken quite a while to kind of go back and make this work. And so we just wanted to give you an update and remind you of the goal of the program was to really find ways to add shelters at our facilities to add more shade opportunities for our bus riders. It gets very, very difficult. It's very hot in the summer waiting for a bus. We did a procurement. About 50 prime and subcontractors downloaded the RFP. We had two vendors that submitted proposals, one from Creative Outdoor Advertising and one from Outfront Media, which is formerly CBS. We had a very extensive proposal team made up of transit services, the city attorney's office, city manager's office, engineering, procurement, a representative from the city of Phoenix Public Transit, because they have a very robust advertising program, and then an outside third party to participate. Some key elements between the two proposals. Both proposals, the contract would be for a 10-year contract with 2 1-year option years. Creative Outdoor was proposing adding 60 new shelters. Outfront was proposing adding 50. Creative had no kiosk, but Outfront was proposing adding 50 kiosks. And a kiosk is just a freestanding, three-sided unit that would sit next to our existing shelter. I'll get to that in a minute. Creative Outdoor was promoting adding 300 benches that would have advertising. And street furniture was not part of that proposal, one of the things, so Outfront did not propose that. The compensation, the revenue back to the city, was a minimum annual guarantee from Creative Outdoor was $50 per unit or $180,000 over the 10 years of the contract or revenue sharing of 5%. The Outfront guarantee was $250,000 over the year of the contract or revenue sharing of 8% for 8% of the revenue, whichever is higher for years 1 through 7, and 15% for years 8 through 10. The big difference is the lifespan of the product being recommended. Creative Outdoors shelters and benches had a 10-year lifespan. So at the end of the 10-year contracts, all of that would go away, and we'd essentially be starting over in a lot of ways. Outfront's kiosks and shelters have about a 20-year lifespan, so after 10 years, we still have 10 more years on those facilities, and those assets become the property of the city. These are examples of the furniture and the product being recommended by Creative Outdoor. It was a very heavy-duty polyurethane plastic-type material that could be used in how this is positioned. These are the shelters being proposed by Outfront. They're more updated than the current shelters we have, and the advertising panels are larger, more consistent with what we have in the valley. The projected value of the contract for the city is about, over the 10-year contract, is between $1.6 and $1.9 million, and that includes the revenue and projected revenue over the time of the contract, the cost of the additional 50 shelters that we'll add to our inventory that we don't have to, we're not paying up front for, the additional 50 kiosks, and then 10 years of cleaning and maintenance for all these facilities. So that brings, and that includes shelter seating, trash cans, the concrete pad it has to go on, and the lighting needed for that. An example of something we can add to is, which was not included, which could increase our revenue, is the opportunity to do a shelter wrap, where we would wrap the shelter, and this is an example of what one looks like, for ad, for if there's a special event like a Super Bowl or a Final Four and they want to wrap shelters in Mesa, we would have that opportunity to be able to look at that. And this is just quickly the areas where in the map where we're, as we get, if the contract is awarded, we'll dig down and really look at the exact locations, but this is the general area where the shelters would be identified, and then this is a general area where the ad kiosks would go. So, and just to kind of give you quickly how that affects Mesa, we have right now 750 bus stops in Mesa, 244 have shelters, which is about 33% of our bus stops. This proposal adds 50 new shelters, increasing that number to 294 total shelters in Mesa. And at build-out, we think we can get about 400 shelters or get 53% of our bus stops to have shelters. And the biggest obstacle to getting a shelter is obviously the right-of-way needed to do that.
I'm sorry, Jody, I think Mr. Kavanaugh has a question for you.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I apologize.
Okay. No. And then as this 10-year program, because one of our, kind of the biggest challenge we have is we already have a pretty robust network of shelters with our 244, is being able to grow so that at the end of the 10-year contract, we're in a position where we already have more facilities with advertising in it, which will help us in the next contract with revenue. So as we do life cycle replacements, we'll look for opportunities to add shelters with advertising. As there's property damage, our shelters do get hit every once in a while. We'll look to add, if it's appropriate, to add a shelter with advertising on it. And then as we do improvement projects, we'll evaluate that. So we're going to be looking for all constantly looking for ways to increase that inventory of our infrastructure. So with that, we're recommending the approval of the contract, and I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Kavanaugh.
Thank you. This has been a long time coming. This discussion actually started when Mike James was our transit director. So, wow, about 5 years we've been working on this, and I'm glad that we have made it to this point. I originally thought it was very simple to award a contract for shelters, but Ms. Sorrell taught me otherwise, and at transit conferences showed me many, many, many different kinds of transit shelters and the pros and cons and the good and the bad and the experiences of other communities. So I appreciate all the work that she and her staff have done, and particularly, again, the project team that has been evaluating this. One of the things I've learned in serving in the past 6 years on the Metro board is there is a constant demand from users to have additional shade. And sadly, a lot of times Mesa got criticized for having fewer shelters than anyone else, and which is really not true, but it's sometimes it's hard to take those board meetings. And so I think this is a very good step in the right direction. I appreciate the proposed contractor coming together to bring it to this point. I think it'll be a very positive outcome for our community. I just want to express my appreciation.
Thank you. Mr. Luna.
Jody, thank you for a great presentation. I think this is a great idea. Now, as far as the advertising standards, have there been any other communities that face similar issues that have challenged some of these standards?
Yes, and we have identified our standards are consistent with what Valley Metro and the City of Phoenix uses. So we're not recreating the wheel in any way. We're being consistent with Phoenix recently had a court case, and they slightly modified their standards, and we've adjusted accordingly to that.
I'm sorry, could you describe briefly what those standards are?
Right there. So basically, the advertising will be a commercial transaction. It won't be political in nature, or it can't be false or misleading. It can't be related to an illegal activity. We'll follow the revised statutes when it comes to advertising, smoking, and tobacco. We look at, you know, not placing them close to schools or religious institutions for various reasons. So these are the standards that Valley Metro and the City of Phoenix follow, and we'll be following those same standards.
I don't see anything in those standards. You said it can't be political in nature, unless you mean the be false, misleading,
well,
or deceptive
part. It has to be a, it has to be a commercial transaction.
Okay.
So.
Can we not allow political? So if a candidate wanted to advertise on a shelter, can...
Right. So Mayor and Council, those standards have actually been... City of Phoenix has actually been sued twice. And they actually won one case. And then the recent case is an as-applied challenge, how they are applying certain language, which they then subsequently modified slightly. And we, as Jody pointed out, we also modified the language to mimic Phoenix. So those standards have been, I'll just say, tested. And so they have, I'll say, survived generally constitutional challenge in cases. And also point out the Reed case. The Reed case from the town of Gilbert, that line of cases actually doesn't affect the line of cases that deals with this type of commercial speech on these types of shelters. So we don't think that the Reed case will actually apply to this. And courts have also said that so far. So we don't think that that's going to impact us.
What about some of our codes around off-premises signs and our billboard prohibition? How does that factor in?
So there was a code change, actually, I want to say about it. This process, as Vice Mayor pointed out, it's been a very long process. So that there was a code change, as I remember it, maybe now a couple years ago in anticipation of this. And so that's already, that's been in place so long now that I can't remember exactly when we did it. And so we addressed that already.
And in the contract, how do we address graffiti abatement and defacing of panels that cover advertising? So frequently you'll see a shelter get tagged. I'm assuming that rolls up in the cleaning contract, but sometimes you see actual vandalism where they scratch their, you know, letters into the glass panel, and or is it plexiglass? I'm not sure what the material is that covers that, but that's an important issue. So how is that addressed within?
So,
perfect.
Yeah.
For the record, he said that they replace any damage in 24 hours.
Yeah. If I can just, Mayor and Councilmember Richens, Outfront Media, that Tom Reardon from Outfront Media is here, and they've been, one of the reasons this took so long to do is got down to the lighting element and how the panels would be lit versus hardwire versus solar, and would it last long enough. And Tom and his staff in transportation and the energy department spent a lot of time evaluating solar batteries and looking at the cost differential from trenching to connect to the hardwire, and that making sure that we got a product that was financially feasible for both entities was the long part of this process.
I mean, it's a good example of what the people always refer to as a public-private partnership. You know, we get shelter and for our transit system, they get revenue from advertising. You know, we shed a lot of maintenance costs as far as, because we have to pay to maintain those currently. And so it's a good win-win. And thanks for slogging through it. I know it's been a long, long journey at Outfront Media. Thank you for hanging in there through the course of that. I know there's been a lot of variations we've been trying to work on, and it's nice to see it come to fruition. So thank you.
Mr. Cavanaugh.
And just a follow-up question. I know in our discussions in the past, we've talked about the potential entering into a contract where the city might would have some allocation of space for city events or public events. I'm just wondering if that is built into this. For example, if we had wanted to advertise the Celebrate Mesa or at holiday time the skating rink in downtown, is there any provision for that in this particular proposal? I know we have talked about that through the years.
Correct. Mayor, Vice Mayor Kavanaugh, this contract does allow for a certain percentage, I believe it's 10%, for the city to use to promote our events and stuff like that.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So just so we're clear, the only shelters that would have the advertising are the 50 additional shelters?
No, the 50 additional shelters, and then there's 50 additional kiosks that would be added to our existing shelters locations. So I don't even know if this is on the docket, but at Mesa Drive and University, on the north, heading southbound on Mesa Drive, there's a shelter. Real estate permitting, we could go in and add a pad with a freestanding kiosk next to it, so that we're generating revenue at that shelter. Because a lot of our existing shelters, they haven't exceeded their life cycle span, so they're not, don't need to be replaced. So we're trying to increase that inventory as we can.
Okay, so we have an existing inventory of 750 bus shelters. Correct. This would add 50 new bus shelters and 50 with advertising and 50 kiosks to existing bus shelters.
Kind of correct, Mayor.
Okay.
we have 750 bus stops.
Oh, okay.
Of the bus stops, 244 have shelters. So this would add an additional 50 shelters, bringing that number up to about 294 total bus shelters. And then we would have another 50 shelters that have, for lack of a better word, an accessory item that would be that would be a freestanding kiosk.
To the existing, they would have, there's an existing shelter.
Right.
There's a shelter that exists.
Correct.
But the kiosk would be added next to it.
Correct.
So ultimately, we'd have about 300 bus shelters, 294,
correct,
and 100 of those would have advertising on them.
50 of those would have advertising on them.
Well,
oh,
you're
no,
right. There
you're
would be
right,
advertising
right,
associated
with
the
100
kiosks.
Of those would have, yes, advertising, yeah, opportunities, yes.
Okay.
Opportunities.
Great. All right. Well, I am new to this process. I haven't slogged through it for years like some of my council members. I'm a little, the idea of turning the public right of way into additional advertising opportunities, I just assume not, frankly, for just beautification issues. But I get it. I'm excited with the idea that we can maybe help promote some city events with the use of those. So I'm generally in supportive, but at the same time, a little bit, I mourn the commercialization of the right-of-way. But I'm sure I'm in the minority on that. Okay, thank you. Any additional questions, Council? Thank you. Mr. Brady, what's next?
One more item, Mayor. If we could have a presentation on 6J. This is a Department of Justice grant that we are applying for, but while it has some benefits on the front end, I want to make sure Council understands clear about our ultimate commitments to replace our record management system.
Okay, you ready?
Great.
Good morning, Mayor, members of Council. Good morning to you. Mike Dvorak, I'm Assistant Chief with the Police Department, and talking a little bit about the Bureau of Justice Statistics grant today, giving you a little more context to what it's about. Department of Justice sponsors this grant. It's funding towards the future replacement of our records management system. And with me today, I brought to my far right is Pat Phelps. Pat is our Police Information Technology Administrator. And then next to me to take us through a very short presentation is our commander over the police department's information technology division, Bill Peters. And he will talk through our few slides and give you a little context to what we're talking about related to this grant.
Good morning, Council, Vice Mayor, Mayor. Our RMS, our records management system, is in need of replacement. We installed our current record management system in 2005. It's fair to say it's a first generation Windows-based records management system. It was updated in 2013, but currently the system runs on discontinued technology. Additionally, the vendor is unable to fix existing issues that we have with the system and will not be upgrading the product to run on a supported database. The current system also does not allow for future security updates, which leaves us vulnerable to some cybersecurity threats. We have been planning and are planning to replace the existing RMS system to address stability concerns. At the same time, the FBI, Director Comey, has made a priority for the FBI to transition from the Uniform Crime Reporting System that we currently use today to the National Incident-Based Reporting System, or NIBRS. UCR was implemented in 1930, and it has largely been the same since that time. NIBRS is far more robust in how it collects data that allows law enforcement in our communities to better plan strategically and more effective law enforcement. The FBI has announced that they will no longer support UCR and will be fully NIBRS compliant by January of 2021, thus putting us in another reason that we need to replace our existing RMS. Our current record management system is simply ineffective for reporting NIBRS. It's unstable, and it's not user-friendly for the officers in the field or for our records clerks who quality control our reports. Earlier this year, the Bureau of Justice Statistics came out to Arizona. They met with MESA and two other law enforcement agencies, and they announced that they had a grant to help agencies transition to the NIBRS system, the crime reporting system. We applied for that grant, and they have announced that they are prepared to award us a grant in the tune of $609,000 to help us in integrating to a new RMS system to report for NIBRS. That will include about $419,000 in personnel cost and another $190,000 towards software and equipment. The cost for a new RMS is going to be more than the grant was awarded. They won't award us the full amount that it'll take to go to a new records management system, but they will just help us transition that direction. We estimate that a new record management system will cost us between $3.5 to $4 million and to be distributed over two fiscal years. And with that, we're certainly willing to entertain any questions that council may or may have.
So, Mayor and Council, just one, want to make you aware of our records management system. Obviously, there's a need to begin planning, and we've been in discussions for some time about that replacement. As I understand it, the acceptance of this grant, which is will be helpful in initiating our efforts to transition, but it does create an obligation for us to, which we need to do, but it does create the obligation for us to replace the records management system. We still recommend it because this provides us resources to help us move in that direction, but it does put us on a timeline that we would have to have that replaced. And what was the time again that we requirement to replace the system would be by when?
January 1st of 2021.
Yeah, so we have time to plan it. Obviously, once you commit, you know, these resources and the planning and the transition, we'd want to be at fairly time. No, we wouldn't want to wait till 2021 because we're going to have some put some resources in place to make that transition now. So we just want to make council aware of you're seeing a piece of it in this grant. Obviously, there's more to come later on.
Mr. Richens.
Who's the vendor for the software, and why is the federal government subsidizing it through grants? I mean, why?
Our current vendor is Intergraph.
For the new program.
Oh, for the new program, we would have to go to an RFP. We have been, we've had vendors come out and demo their products with us.
So the grant is just to replace the system with some other system that's out there. It's not a particular platform that's being
pushed.
That is
correct.
Okay, that's what I didn't understand.
That's correct.
Okay. So we're able to choose the one that is the best application
yes.
for us. And there's how many are on the market?
Oh, there's quite a few on the market. I know we've had at least five come and demo
several
with
dozen
us.
On the market, yeah. But we've directly looked at about half a dozen of those.
Okay. And we'll follow just your typical procurement process to go through and evaluate the software. And so outside of PD's evaluation, what other resources are you going to use to evaluate the software and the compatibility with the system here? Is the city IT department going to be at the table? Are there outside people that help you? What do you envision there?
Make
sure you get it right.
We are involved with the city IT, and we also obviously network with other law enforcement agencies who are using various products. And so,
So talking to some other agencies that have used certain. Okay.
And the newer RMS systems, as opposed to our first generation Windows base, are far more user friendly to the officers on the front end, and also on our records clerks for being able to quality control our reports, make sure our statistics are properly reported to the federal.
Do any of them have mobile interface to be able to upload reports in the field? So if they have an iPad, they're at a scene, they're able to go through some kind of menu and get some of their reporting.
Yes, and what we would envision that would make it easier in the products that are out there is that depending on whatever the crime that we're investigating at the time, as we front load that data in, let's say, in the salt, it will only open up those windows that are appropriate for us to fill out. Right now, everything is out there, and the officers kind of have to sort through things to figure out which windows to put data into and which ones not, and it's very cumbersome for them.
Right. It seems to me like there's an opportunity here to keep officers out in the field more and not at a desk writing up reports as much. You know, that if we get the right platform that, you know, you interface with some of these mobile devices, handheld devices, the computers in their cars, that they're able to knock out some of that stuff so they don't have to go back to the precinct, is that the right term, I know a lot of them sit and they have to type in, out their reports. I think it will get more accurate reports if they're done in real time. So I think this is a really exciting opportunity, and we should capitalize well on some of the technology that's out there. So thank you.
One of the goals of the project is to dramatically improve that field experience, make it more effective, more efficient with the client that sits in the car, give them more ability and streamline that process for the officers.
Have you guys gone through that process where you've talked to your officers about what they need, talked about, do you have your specific objectives for what you're trying to acquire, or is it still more loose than that?
Our intent with that, Counselor, is beginning after the first of the year, assuming we have approval to move forward here, we're going to start a process of needs assessment, interviews with the appropriate people in the department, stakeholders. We're looking to leverage some external consultants relative to that, if appropriate, and walk through that process so that as we build the RFP, we've made sure we've identified the needs of the field and the people actually using the product to make sure we make that objective.
Good. Good. I just want to make sure that, I mean, I'll be long gone from here, but I don't know, maybe I'll come back in 4 years. No. Somebody will have to deal with that. Yeah, Brady's rolling his eyes. Maybe not. Okay, fine. Anyway, but making sure we get that set up right at the front. So I appreciate hearing that you guys kind of thought through who you're going to talk to, because there are some software systems we put in place that some of the line guys complain about, and we just want to make sure that we minimize that as much as we can.
I think one additional opportunity is through our involvement with major city chiefs. With this being a national initiative, it allows us to network with all the major agencies throughout the country to look at best practices as everyone starts to implement some of the changes they have to their systems. And we have, you know, three large agencies in our state that allows us to share what our needs are and such, to make sure we are looking at the very best product for the officers in the field that works for our system.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mr. Luna.
I appreciate it's not a proprietary system that you're locked in or captive to a specific software package. So it's going to be multimodal in terms of you can use an iPad, you can use any type of mobile device to be able to upload any records.
The exact flexibility you'll determine on RFP responses and the product that we select with the best fit. However, most of these products today have a web browser front end that's available that would be very device agnostic.
Okay.
So you could use it on a Windows tablet, you could use it on an iPad, you could use it. Many of the companies, there was kind of a move to have like an iPhone client or an iPad client and an Android client. They've kind of moved away from that and moved to more of this web model, which gives us a lot of versatility in how we can access the product.
And then your current technology that you have in place will accommodate that. So are you going to have to replace your technology as well?
What we're trying to do now, the primary thing, obviously with a project like this, we'd be replacing some back-end server hardware for it to run on. We're looking at our life cycle now for MDTs in the cars, and we're looking at what will we anticipate, you know, knowing that there's a finite group of products that'll meet our need, what are their requirements going to be, so that we're trying to make sure we're gearing for that in our life cycle, so that as we're starting to bring new equipment into the cars, when we move to this product, it should be supported on the equipment in the cars.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Finter.
Yes. The media has been reporting that City of Phoenix PD has been having quite a bit of challenges. And, you know, that sounds like an understatement for the way they've been describing it. So when you talk about, you know, interacting with those major agencies, we're learning from all the mistakes that are potentially out there and won't have that kind of an experience.
Well, certainly I think the advantage to the major city chief's approach is they have a technology committee that's national as well. And so with that, there is sharing within those committees to the major agencies on successes, what's working, how they've approached issues. So I think the advantage there is perhaps to get that learning on the front end as agencies are implementing, so we have the very best practices in place when we do it. So yes, I think with all that national input as well as some of our, I think, in-state partners, I think we'll have a good cross-section of ideas to make sure that we're addressing all the concerns and we're able to support it properly.
Well, I'm sure our records system is needing to be replaced, so I get this. Just so I'm clear on it, this would be a $608,000 grant to cover three positions.
Correct.
So it's not towards the purchase of the equipment or the software. It's to cover the personnel associated with the transition.
There's approximately
$190,000,
Mayor, that will be towards the system itself. And then $419,000 towards personnel costs.
Okay. And so how long a period of time do these three individuals, can we credit their salaries to the federal government? And then at what point do we need to incorporate that into our personnel budget?
They're going to cover them for 2 years. And after that time, we would have to either absorb them or, you know, let them go. Our preference, of course, is to absorb them.
Okay. So, I mean, is this going to be two new or three new FTEs, or is it just going to... Okay.
And, Mayor, when these positions are filled, the positions will identify that they're grant-funded positions, so they'll recognize that if, you know, once the grant's expired, if there's not a position, then the position can be eliminated. So that's identified on the front end.
I see. So are these kind of temporary positions to cover the transition period, and then after the 2 or 3 years is over, it's business as usual, and thanks, we don't need the extra help anymore, kind of a thing?
We'll work through that. See, a lot of times what will happen on these grants is that other positions inside the department that are existing today may come open, and then they can transition, or transition. The advantage they have is there's other positions throughout the city, they may be able to transition to those. So we try to work with that. Once we've invested that kind of time, the key is to be cautious not to create incrementalism where we can add in more staff because of the system. These systems should help us to stay at least neutral on that side of it. But I think it's wise at the beginning we do. There's a lot of effort in the effort to bring on these new systems and the transitions, the new systems. I think this is nice to have. I'm certain that the police department will feel even a greater pull for more staff to be assigned to this project during the implementation, and that will be a significant, we'll have to work on that staffing too.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. With the advent of the body cameras, I know the expensive part of that process is the storage of the data that is accumulated there. That's a separate system from the records system that we're going to have.
That is correct, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Council, any additional questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Great presentation.
Thank you.
Mr. Brady.
Mayor, just one item I failed to remind or let the council know. On your council agenda, we'll be adding one more liquor license. We're doing so well. Ultimate Imaginations. This is for the liquor license for the Mesa Music Festival. So it wasn't on your agenda today. It'll be on your agenda for Monday. And that is for the November 12th event.
So. Great. So that'll be added to the agenda before.
We'll add that to the agenda. Okay. You'll see that on Monday.
Great. Thank you. I think the next item on our agenda for this meeting then is 2A. Mr. Brady, are we going to have an additional presentation?
That was the first presentation we saw.
Great. So we've had the presentation on the multi-use paths. Next agenda item is 2B, to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the following unsolicited proposals for the development of approximately 2 acres of city-owned property on the southeast corner of First Avenue and McDonald. And I'm sure Mr. McVeigh will tell us what proposals those are. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. I'm here today to present, discuss, and take your direction on three proposals that we have recently received for First Avenue McDonald. To provide a little history, which you're all well aware of, at the beginning of this year, we had an RFP process in which we solicited development proposals for about 2 acres on the southeast corner of First Avenue McDonald. The council did select one developer, Mesa Housing Associates 2, to do a combination senior housing development and 24-unit market rate development. That entire development project, however, was contingent upon the developer receiving a low-income housing tax credit award. They were unsuccessful in receiving that award, so the development agreement, while it's still in place, essentially is defunct. So the property is available again. We've had three unsolicited proposals come to us. The first one is from Mesa Housing Associates.
Just real quick.
Yes.
What's the end date of that? You say it's essentially defunct, but there's dates that cover that. And I know there's an excess funding award that happens sometimes from the State Department of Housing. So what's the...
We have dates built into it that beyond the date of the tax credit awards, we have delivery date requirements for when the projects would have to be begun and completed. And I believe that the delivery dates for the senior housing project were October of 2018. For both projects would be October 2018.
So I just so I can be clear, if we take no action on any of these today, are we tied into a contract in some way on that property?
I believe, and I hopefully Jim will agree with me, that the city has every right at this point to terminate the agreement with the developer because of the tax. There wasn't an award of a tax credit.
Okay, so we're not locked into waiting for another round of tax credits or anything?
Mayor, Council, no, we're not. If you don't approve one of these to go forward, we'd go back and we would terminate both the development agreement. And it is, both the property is in escrow right now, but under the terms, it also is tied to the award of the LIHTC funds. And so we'd go back and terminate the escrow. So we're in a position now that we either need to amend if we want to go forward with that proposal, or we need to go back and terminate.
Thank you.
Mesa Housing Associates has come back to us. They have made a revised proposal to us in order to encourage us to enter into a revised development agreement and purchase and sale agreement. There's two major changes to that agreement that they're proposing. The first being that the market rate portion, the 24 units of market rate housing that would be right on the immediate corner of First and McDonald, would be the first thing developed. And if we were able to enter into a development and purchase and sale agreement, that they would begin development of that project immediately. The second...
Yes. How is that different than what it is now?
Right now, the development agreement ties all projects to the successful award of a tax credit. So essentially, the market rate project would not have happened without the award of a tax credit, and the senior housing project being the first one to be developed.
Okay, so it's
essentially flipping the timeline.
So they want to do the market rate first, and then... What tax credit would they be applying with tax credit around?
And then that's the second change to the agreement would be to allow them an extension to apply for the tax credit cycle of 2017 for the 71-unit senior housing project.
Yes, Mr. Fenter.
Thank you, Mayor. For the market rate housing, that portion of the land would need to be purchased. Can you tell me the requirements behind that and how that's achieved?
Sure. Mayor, Councilmember Finter, as part of the last agreement, our existing agreement, the developer actually has put into escrow, I think, $130,000, which was the market rate value of the land at the time. It's about a half an acre. That money is still in escrow and will be in escrow until the city chooses or until the agreement terminates, at which point we'd have to return it to the developer. So essentially, the land is in escrow at this point, and if the council decides to move forward, it would just, I think, move forward with that escrow.
Well, as a follow-up, a purchase price, evaluation, I mean, we don't give away anything, right, along those lines? Yeah.
So we did have an appraisal completed on the property when we were first going through this. It was, a $510,000 appraisal for the approximately 1.9 acres. The $130,000 reflects the half-acre portion of that 1.9-acre appraised value.
I'm sorry, Mr. McVeigh. There hasn't been a subsequent appraisal since that appraisal of a year ago.
No, there has not, Mayor.
Do we know if there's been any noticeable change in the value of that property given the increased interest in development in downtown Mesa?
There has been some property sales in downtown in recent months that could potentially create new comparables that we could order a new appraisal and see whether there was any changes to the value. To give a quick summary of the actual proposal, the first phase is the 24-unit, three-story apartment development market rate with about a $3 million investment. The second phase, if they were successful in receiving a tax credit in the 2017 cycle, it would be a 71-unit, five-story affordable senior housing development. The second proposal that we received recently is from Art House Projects. Art House Projects actually submitted for the RFP at the beginning of this year when we had released it. Unfortunately, they were one day late in getting it to our offices, so we could not consider it. They have since come back to us and resubmitted that proposal for our consideration. To give a quick overview, it would be for the entire nearly 2-acre site. They're looking at 170 market rate residential units and an additional up to 10,000 square feet of first floor retail along First Avenue and McDonald. They are five-story and four-story buildings, they total just under 200,000 square feet in building square footage. The third proposal, which actually came in just this week, is from Artisan Development. Artisan Development is a Connecticut company that is trying to come into the Arizona market. They do residential development in the East Coast, actually have some projects in Colorado as well. Infill, multifamily, and single family development. Their proposal would be for a larger site area. That's why I have the map up on the screen. They would look at almost 3.5 acres, which is the entire area that was included in the original RFP, plus the vacant land that goes to the south to the city's parking lot at the South Center campus. Their proposal is fairly general at this point, reflecting the timeline that they had to put it in. They're looking at, again, a market rate, mixed-use residential development apartments. From a density perspective, at least 40 units per acre, if not more. They have proposed a purchase value or purchase price of $510,000 for the entire site. They have not had the opportunity to put together conceptual site plans or conceptual renderings, but what they did provide us was some precedent imagery of the type of architecture that they feel would be influencing any development that they had as they moved forward. So at this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions and take direction from the council.
Thank you, Mayor. Given that the Mesa Housing Associate, their project was contingent to receiving the LIHTC funds, and so they didn't receive them, and so their project essentially isn't going to be accepted. Is that correct?
Mayor, Councilmember Luna, there is always the possibility. I think that as time goes, that possibility gets narrower or smaller, but that a project that was awarded a tax credit would not be able to perform, and that tax credit would fall to the next in line. There is always that possibility that Mesa Housing Associates could still get a tax credit award, but that possibility becomes less likely every day.
So my question is, why didn't we open the process? Why is it that we're accepting unsolicited projects? I'm a little confused into why we decided to pursue that route instead of, you know, we're getting unsolicited proposals.
Councilmember Luna, that's a great question, and actually it'd be great policy direction from the council for us. We just wanted to be able to come back to you. These were unexpected. All three of them were unexpected proposals. We didn't want to just make a decision from our perspective as to whether to move forward or not without coming to the council and getting your direction. Re-releasing the property for a public RFP is definitely one of the options that's on the table.
Thank you. Other questions, council? Mr. Finter.
You know, I'm no appraiser. You know, I know just a tiny enough about real estate to get myself in trouble. It seems like for a commercial corner for a half acre, $130,000 sounds pretty cheap. I know there's probably the entitlements and everything that goes with that, but is there any more insight on it? Maybe I'm just totally missing it.
Well, I think the appraisal was done prior to the
It was done in January or February of this year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I'm not trying to jack up the prices, and who knows. It just struck me. That was one of the things that, you know, I'm just verbalizing. Like, oh, $130,000. That's the price of a. That's about the half price of a little house these days in Mesa. So a commercial corner in downtown Mesa with an amazing development right next to it seems a little light on the, I don't know, but.
Sure. Council, we do have two requests to speak on this. So if we're done asking Mr. McVeigh questions, maybe just one request to speak. Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Luna.
You know, I'm familiar with the LIHTC in terms of trying to get you need to get your points in order to get approval. And I worked when I was on the New Leaf Board of Directors, we did that through the La Mesita site. Where is the Mesa Housing Associates relative to the LIHTC funding? I know that they have to submit their proposal and there's dates and they have to have all this done. Do you know where we're at with that? Have they already done that process?
Mayor, Councilmember Luna, they have not submitted for this next round of tax credits for 2017. I don't even believe that the tax credit award or the qualified action plan has been released for them to be able to respond to. The deadline will be March 1st of 2017. I'm speaking on behalf of them. If you'd like, they might be able to chime in for us. But I imagine that their application is probably 90% done because the project essentially is the same. The only thing that they would have to do likely is to change dates and any material changes that they might have made to the development proposal as it exists. Does that sound accurate?
Well, I know this is agendized to get direction, but if you don't mind, I think that the course I'm going to chart here is let's hear from those who have requested to speak, and then we'll have some additional council discussion and hopefully be able to provide the direction you're looking for. Unless there's any additional questions right now for Mr. McVeigh, council. Hearing none, I would invite forward Mr. Mike Wright. Mike, welcome. We have set aside 3 minutes to hear your presentation.
Thank you. Well, I'm here on behalf of Action Neighborhood Alliance again. This project we opposed last February. The same arguments that you're familiar with we have. What has changed is that there is now more market rate interest in the property, and obviously that's what we would prefer. We are only concerned about the Mesa Housing Project. Not because we don't like the developer, we think that developer could create a very nice market rate project. But the idea of LIHTC funding compared to the proposal of Artisan and Art House seems to be a no-brainer to us. We have the same concerns about more LIHTC properties in the area. We wonder how many LIHTC properties have been approved in other parts of town. And we see no change in terms of the merits of the project that are proposed by Mesa Housing. That's our position.
Thank you very much, Mike. Next, we have a card from D. Montague. Mr. Montague, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I think that if we look at what's happening, last year we were saying there's got to be some market rate interest. Now we're seeing it. We have the ASU proposal. We have question one on the ballot. I think that there's no reason that the city would give property to a developer at this point. The proposal last year was discussed February 22nd, included that the city provide the land to the developer at zero cost. If that is still part of Mr. Humandel's proposal, I think that that's clearly something that should be rejected. We see it at Sycamore Station. A couple of years ago, you voted not to accept a LIHTC property there. Now we have a solid proposal that'll be coming up to you in the next few days from Miramar, Mr. Neil Calfee. While I don't necessarily agree with all the components, it's a totally market rate project that will bring higher income levels to our neighborhoods. We're talking about CPLC at the corner of Country Club and Main Street. there again, market rate development. I think that let's make sure that we get market rate. Our goal for the overall neighborhood is to raise our level of per household income, to raise our level of education, as outlined in our arguments supporting question one. We think that more money for the education component on question one will certainly help raise the household education level on the census data. We've seen some other very nice projects, so one at Extension and Southern, that's high-level apartment, multifamily dwellings, again, market rate. The place, Randall Marine property on West Main, went into the ground and have some very nice quality, high-quality projects being developed. I'd say there's no rush for us to be giving land away or for us to be approving or seeking, granting approval for light tech projects in West Mesa. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Montague. Those are the only cards I have to speak.
That's correct, Mayor.
Nothing else? Okay, thank you. Well, so Mr. McVeigh, you have three proposals, unsolicited. I think Mr. Luna asked a question earlier as to, you know, why are we accepting these applications. I think, I'm assuming the answer is we didn't request these applications. They just, by definition, an unsolicited bid is an unsolicited bid. So, but we are confronted with how to respond to them. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Mayor, if I might.
Yes, please, Mr. Richards.
The thing that I'm having trouble reconciling is why this parcel? So we have a developer who's started this block and has done a fantastic job with the projects. They look very nice. They've been a great addition to the downtown. And he proposes to finish the block, and then all of a sudden we get, you know, unsolicited offers. We have 20 acres about a 5-minute walk from here. We have other parcels in downtown that we own and control. I'm just a little perplexed why these proposals keep coming for this particular parcel, because it's a wholly unremarkable corner in downtown. It's, you know, it's not on Main Street. You know, it's a block off, and so that I'm confused. So I don't know if there's representatives from the two other companies here, Art Haas or
there
what,
are.
But I want to know if they've looked around at the balance of downtown and why, what makes this property so special. Because it seems a little suspicious to me that proposals keep popping up in competition to this. It just, I'm having a hard time reconciling that. Although I love the idea, I love competition, I think that's a great idea.
Mayor?
Help me out here.
Mayor, Councilmember Richards, I'm going to give you the optimistic point of view. Which I want to do, is that this, I believe that this is actually a very attractive parcel to many developers in the Valley. It is Mesa, downtown Mesa is the next hot market. There are limited, we still have 25 acres at Mason University Drive. That is approximately a quarter mile to a half mile from the nearest light rail station. We do, as a city, have the limited supply of property that we control that is in close proximity to light rail stations, as well as that historic core of our retail, our historic retail core. So I do believe it's actually a very attractive parcel. And that is why the ability to partner with the city on a development also adds another level of attractiveness that takes some of that uncertainty away of working with a private landowner and negotiating land deals. I think working with the city, while some people might find it frustrating, actually has some level of certainty, and that you can get commitments from somebody, a development partner that you know you can count on. Having said that, I'm always more on the positive side of these questions. Having said that, I know that Jason Boyer with Art House is here, and Don Mortensen representing Artisan Development are both here. If you'd like, we could ask them to give their perspectives.
Well, isn't Don Mortensen just a real estate broker?
He's the broker. He's the broker representing Artisan on this proposal.
I don't need to hear from them, but I'm one of seven people here, so I'm anxious if somebody else wants to hear from him.
Well, just to follow.
Yes, Mr. Finter.
Now, I want to make it constructive because I have some of the same concerns. It's almost like deja vu. Again, last-minute proposals. Seemed to kind of, they're partial. It was it seems odd. It really does. And it didn't, before I thought, hey, pretty legit. Somebody just came in. And all of a sudden, we have the same scenario again. So I guess not pointing at any individual, I would say more of the criticism I remember back, a constructive criticism. When we kind of went through this, when we were talking about putting it down on Main Street, and I was hoping staff, I think we wound ourselves in this public forum when we always stumble over the next request. I was hoping that someday that we could get where we have everything laid out, council decisions made, direction for staff. So when these wonderful proposals come in, that we don't have to go through this public agony that we go through on some of these proposals. So it seems hopefully for the new council, that may be the direction, and not meant, it just, no. This is hurting again.
Yeah, Mayor, Council, I think what's happened is we didn't know until really the last couple of months whether or not the first proposal that was approved previously wasn't going to get the award. And as soon as that became apparent, I think more apparent, then the proposals came in. Once everyone started seeing that the original agreement, the second agreement we had, did allow for the LIHTC proposals wasn't going to be scored, I think then others started looking at it. I think we would look forward to the opportunity, if it's council's interest, either one, to kind of start and look at doing an RFP process, and that would take all, and we could put out a statement and solicit proposals, if that's what your preference is. I think what's happened is we have been working on this site from the beginning with one developer, and we had a thought of a master plan kind of concept, and we're trying to work through that process. And I think really what's just kind of hung up is the fact that it didn't get the award of the LIHTC, and so it's kind of put us in a position of, well, where do we go from here? Now, the developer has come back and said, well, let me move forward with the market rate first, and then let's see what happens if we go through the next round and see if those that other section can get the 70 some units can get the LIHTC. So I think it's kind of, we've been playing through with one developer and trying to see, because from the very beginning we kind of had a master plan. We've had this whole plan has been laid out. I think as they've not been able to get the funding, that's opened the door where others have seen that, and then they've come forward and said, well, maybe it's our opportunity to kind of come through the door. But we're open to the council direction. We didn't want to start a proposal process until we had really come to a conclusion with our current agreement that we have in place today.
Mr. Richens.
So I think I'd like to ask a question of Mr. Humantle, if you guys would allow me, because one of the things I'm not convinced about either is, what's changed in the qualified allocation plan that makes him think he's going to win a tax credit award next year when he didn't? He wasn't successful this year because the fundamentals haven't changed. He was unsuccessful last year. Unless there's something dramatic that's changed in the qualified allocation plan, Charles, why don't you come on down here? Unless there's something dramatic that's changed in the qualified allocation plan, I don't understand your path to victory to get the tax credits in this next round. So, I mean, I love the market rate project. I think that's great. I love the other two projects that you've done. One of the things that I'm also thrilled about is a lot of people say, well, nobody wants to build next to low-income housing. Well, wrong. Obviously, people do want to build next because apparently this is a great parcel.
That's the problem.
So what's changed in the qualified allocation plan that thinks that you're going to score any higher than you did this year and be successful? And if you're not, what's the plan?
Thank you. I think I'm happy to be here today. The questions that have been brought up are all good questions, and I think that almost everyone in the council has said almost the same thing in some way, which is, isn't it great people are excited about being in downtown Mesa now? We believe in downtown Mesa. I think other people do too. But you know we do, because we built two projects and we've brought more residents into downtown Mesa than anyone has in decades. It's easy to look now and say, wow, we should believe in downtown Mesa. But when we did the first project, there were a lot of people, even people in this room, who thought the concept of building and bringing residents into downtown Mesa was a pretty crazy risk. Turns out it wasn't. Turns out the things that we believed, and probably every one of you believe in your hearts, is true, that downtown Mesa is a great place to live. The bones are there. We can talk about that for hours, but I think we're probably all on the same page. Your question specifically is, what makes us think be different this year? I guess there are a number of things. First of all, we don't know what the QAP will be this year, the standards that guide the points that govern how projects will be appointed. That's still in the process, but the way that it looks today, it is different, and it is favorable to us. The second thing, frankly, is that the city of Mesa...
What do you mean by the way it looks today? So the current QAP?
Right, which is not, it's not solidified. They could still change it yet again.
But is the draft out?
The draft is out, and the draft is more favorable to us, we think, than it would have been a few years ago. And frankly, the other thing that happened a few years ago is the city of Mesa put significant weight on the application for art space, which is a good thing. Look, I think a couple council members have said, wouldn't it be great if more people lived down here? We have plenty of land. I think that's right. We're not suggesting that it wouldn't be great for these other applicants to come down here. We think it'd be great if they built in Mesa, too. We're ready to build our market rate and piece now. We'd be in the ground by the time we resubmit for the tax credit piece. There's also been a lot of discussion about tax credit projects in general. You know, Chevy is a brand and Cadillac is a brand, but they're all part of GM. And just like that, there are lots of tax credit projects. Some are family, some are senior, and frankly, every developer does things differently. And I appreciate what you just said, which is that when we started here, we said we'd build the kind of product that people would want to be next to, and we're proud that people do. It turns out having LIHTC as a neighbor is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. What we think would happen in this round is that we would start with the 24 units. Those 24 units would start to prove the market for future market rate projects. In March, we'd submit. We think we have a better chance this year than last year. Jeff is right. The bulk of our application is ready, although there are still lots of pieces that change every year. What we're asking you to do is to move on the development agreement that you have before you. And I guess we would kind of disagree that the development agreement is now at a point where you can just terminate it. I think that Jeff is right when he said that every day it becomes probably less likely that we would still get funding. But we could still get funding in the cycle for that tax credit. We're probably on the cusp so that if somebody's project didn't move forward, there would be a good chance that we would still get funding. Now, every day that becomes less likely because those projects move closer to fruition. We don't know if that'll happen or not. What we're saying is we want to move forward on the market piece now. You know, the reason that piece, I would argue, is so interesting to people is because we did a quality job when we came in the first time and the second time. When we first went to that site, it was a parking lot that frankly wasn't in even the kind of condition that you'd want to park on. Well, we changed that environment with the help of the city of Mesa. It wasn't just us. I don't want to take the only credit for it. And we did lots of things, including changing the width of the street. I understand since then, Mesa's decided they're going to change the entire width of the street along that area. Those are the kinds of things that we did to make that a desirable place. I think that's why other people want to be there. What I would encourage you to do is if other people are really ready to move into downtown Mesa, and I don't know if they are or not. I know last time other people were willing to do it. They even own land downtown, but nothing happened on those projects. They didn't move forward on market projects, although they said they would. We'd ask you to find another place in downtown Mesa where they could start transform that area. It would be just as good for that area as we have been, I hope, for this area.
If you're not successful with the tax credit round, what's the plan?
Well, I think two things. First of all, we'll have built the first portion of market. We'll have a better sense of what market will do. Everyone's guessing what market will do because none has been built. We think those 24 units will be extraordinary. They'll be unique. They'll be something you can't get anywhere else on the rail, and they'll help to prove the market. So one option for us, if we don't get the LIHTC deal, and frankly, even if we do, is depending on how those units do, we're asking you to structure the deal in a way that allows us the option to either build it as a tax credit project or to build it as a market project. Not to define that for us, but to allow us both opportunities.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Luna.
First of all, Mr. Umenthal, thank you for being here. I appreciate the project you've done. You've done a great job in Mesa, and I appreciate that. I'm just wondering, why didn't you reconsider doing just a plan that was entirely market and not dependent on the light tech?
There are a number of reasons, and I guess I could go on for some time. I understand why some people don't like market, but frankly, we've got a lot of residents that live in those communities here, and I think they frankly make downtown Mesa a better place. And we have made their lives better by providing them the affordable housing product that they probably need at this point in their life as seniors. We think that being downtown with more residents, we know that those residents want to come. We're 100% full. Not only are we 100% full, when we opened the second phase, and this is really unheard of, we pre-leased every single unit in that second phase before we were even able to move a single person in. We know there's demand for that product. We believe those residents are good for downtown. We believe it shouldn't be the only kind of resident downtown, but we think one more building certainly is going to be a good thing, and we know that that helps fill that block in a way that provides great urban environment. In fact, we know today that that kind of environment that we're building, including the tax credit pieces, encourage other market rate developers to be down here. The truth is we don't see it as a bad thing. We see those residents as a good thing to downtown Mesa, and we think that there's the need for 71 more units. We also think that proving up the market rate piece is important too. And we think the best way to do that is not to build hundreds of units at the same time, but to build 24 really unique units so that we can prove the market, so people can see that there's demand. We all talk about the demand, but when people in the industry come down, they don't see any units that they can even look to for pricing. So we think that it's good for us, and we think it's good for the downtown. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I have a follow-up question. Let's say we decided to open up the process and made it available dependent. We want to see what's going to be the result, the final result of the November 8th election. ASU coming down to downtown Mesa, what the potential that could bring the community. Delaying it, is that going to delay the potential risk of getting what you need done?
Absolutely, it does. And, okay. And frankly, I think that the second part of it for us is, I understand that you know, you might want to wait until after November, and then that takes months after that to figure out what you might actually do, and then you do an RFP, and now you're another year out. You know, we started in downtown Mesa several years ago, and it had been decades since other things have been built. We need residents downtown, and we're ready to move forward now. It was one of the things we heard at the last meeting is we'd like you to move forward with the market piece now. So we listened, and we came back, and we said, okay, we're ready to take that risk. Personally, and obviously our answer is biased, we think it's better for everybody if we move forward now. That it isn't as if there isn't other land in downtown Mesa for us to continue planning on. And even in places like New York City, they continue to find places where they can redevelop projects. If there's demand, that project will happen and things will evolve. But if we wait forever, it never happens. So we're encouraging you to move forward now so that we can get started. If you move forward later, then we probably won't be started before you get the tax credit application before us. So we'll be talking about a very different set of facts. Right now we're saying you wanted the market first. If you give us that opportunity now, we'll be able to build the market piece so that you'll know we'll have that before we submit our tax credit application. And that's one of the things we heard when we were here last time.
Thank you. I don't know that we have additional questions for you, Mr. Umenthal, but thank you for being here. And I join in congratulating you on thus far doing a great project in downtown Mesa, Encore. I'm very proud of it. I think I was in a meeting recently with another developer that wanted to do a low-income tax credit housing project in downtown Mesa. And I said, well, you're in trouble because we're going to judge your project by the quality of Encore. So go look at that. And that's the standard now. So kudos to you and to the city for doing a great job with the first phase of Encore.
I appreciate it. Part of me hopes you don't have any more questions, but if you do, I will still be here.
Okay.
Thank you.
I do share some of the concerns that I heard in Mr. Luna's remarks. I see three issues going on here. First, there's the debate over LIHTC versus market. Frankly, we will talk about that, you know, for many more council meetings, I'm sure. But the short answer to why a developer wants to do LIHTC instead of market is money. LIHTC is an extremely lucrative business to be in. It guarantees the success of a project, so I don't fault people for wanting to do LIHTC. That makes them good business people. But, you know, this is not about social engineering. This is about making money is what's going on here. But, again, that's a debate for another day, and I'm sure that we'll have that. My more pressing concerns, I'm sorry?
It's not remotely accurate, but whatever. We'll debate that another day.
We will. My more pressing concerns are having to do with timing and process. Last year when we, or well, the first part of this year when we first talked about this, we were told you have to hurry up and decide on this. There's no time for debate. There's no time for any kind of process to put this out and let other people weigh in or see what the market is. I think at my insistence, we did it for a very short period of time. The result was we got one or two responses, but I think the chatter was, this is obviously a rigged process because you're only allowing us to look at this for a matter of a couple of weeks. Normally, this is something that's done over the course of months. And again, now we're told, oh, there's a fire. We have to hurry and decide this right now. And the timing, again, I think to echo something I heard from Mr. Finter, just seems, again, suspect to me. This is exactly the wrong time to be making this decision. We are literally a couple of weeks away from having an election that will determine, that will tell us what the future of our downtown is and how much in demand pieces of real estate are going to be in our downtown. So I don't understand why we're trying to hurry and slip this in before we get the answer to that question that is literally just a few weeks away. Depending on the outcome of the election, we might again be back in, hey, we need to incentivize heavily projects of all shapes and sizes in downtown Mesa, or exactly the opposite could be true. So setting aside the policy reasons, the timing of this is just 100% wrong to me. The other thing that bothers me about this, again, is the lack of a process. We are talking about giving away. I'm sorry, we're not giving away. The appraised value is $510,000 as of a year ago. I would strongly suspect it's much higher than that now. But we're talking about selling for $130,000 a piece of property that is appraised at $510,000. There might be a really good reason to do that. But if we do that, we have to follow a process, and we have to prove to people like those who have come in with unsolicited bids saying, hey, we'll write you a check right now for the full value of this. We have to explain to them why we're saying no thank you. Instead, we're going with somebody who's going to pay us a fraction of that. That doesn't pass the smell test unless we follow due process and unless we give everybody the opportunity to come in and explain to us and to be competitive as to why their proposal is better than another proposal. So my recommendation, what I think we need to do is just take a deep breath and realize there's no urgency here at all. We're in a very good position. We have a great strategic asset that's strategically located in our downtown that's worth a lot of money. We're in a good position. Let's see what the future brings in terms of what the market is. We know, unsolicited, that there are many people that want to buy this piece of property. So I would suggest we wait till after the election, and then at that point we go through an RFP process. And I wish the folks from Encore good luck with that. And I mean that sincerely. I would not be disappointed at all if they are the victor in that process. But I think the process, in order to maintain the integrity of this situation, needs to be followed. Mr. Thompson.
There's been a reluctance, I think, on council to sell city-owned property over the past, well, at least since I've been on, the 2 years I've been on. You know, we trusted Mesa Housing Associates to do a good job. They've done a good job with the two projects that they've built. They've kind of master planned the area of what it is going to look like. It's a known project. It's a known quantity, a known quality. And for me, I would prefer to move forward with them. We asked them last time that they were here that they would, we told them we preferred they do the market rate piece. They've agreed to do the market rate piece. For me, it satisfies what we originally asked them to do, and I would like to see them move forward.
I have no hesitancy in selling this piece of property. Mr. Humantle, will you go forward and build the market rate piece? Can we just sever that off from the market, from the, you're shaking your head, no. Okay, thank you. Mr. Glover.
Yeah. After reviewing all the proposals, they're excellent, but I concur with both Councilmember Thompson and Councilmember Richens. Sorry, Dave, I almost forgot your last name. And I've met with at least two of the developers, and I feel like we should move forward with Mason Housing Associates because they're willing to go forward right now with the market rate piece. Obviously, it's contingent, and Dave asked a very difficult question, is what's going to make your proposal different? Are you going to be rewarded the points necessary to move forward? There's no guarantee of that, but there's the guarantee that they will move forward with the market rate and set that standard for future development. I met with Art House. They have beautiful products in Phoenix. I've driven by them many times by the Flynn Foundation. But it goes back to what Dave said, is there's a dearth of property in downtown Mesa, and so why aren't we utilizing staff to work with developers to say, well, if this isn't going to be a good fit here, why don't we look at other areas? So in my opinion, I think we should move forward with Mesa House Associates, but work with Art House and Artisan to find them locations that would be suitable for them in downtown Mesa.
Thank you. Mr. Cavanaugh.
Thank you. In terms of process, what we're doing here, what we can do is we can modify an existing agreement we have. We do this all the time on a lot of projects. And so from a process standpoint, I don't think there's anything bad or evil about modifying a contract with a party that we've entered into an agreement with. I just came back from a national conference on rail and transit-oriented development, and one of the key themes of that conference nationally in every major urban city that spoke and presented was to ensure that you have both a combination of market rate and affordable housing along your transit lines. And one of the key growth areas is affordable housing for seniors in along transit routes, because of either downsizing or for a whole variety of reasons, seniors may not be using their own cars. And the other trend that we see clearly is that affordable senior housing is becoming a very key component associated with universities and colleges. And many of them are starting their own projects for affordable housing for seniors. In fact, ASU is doing that at its Tempe campus. And so I see a very positive synergy between having affordable senior housing along with market rate, close proximity to what I hope will be ASU downtown, Benedictine, Wilkes, and things like that. We do have a master plan for a developer that was willing to take the risk in Mesa when no one else would. No one else would. They built the first new housing in downtown Mesa in more than 25, almost 30 years. And I think they've done a job very well. And I think it's appropriate for us to move ahead. I welcome Art House and Artisan Development to work with us. You know, when you look at the memo that accompanies that Jeff did, you know, Art House is asking for significant government participation subsidy to make their project work as well. They want to purchase the land, at least under their current proposal, substantially reduce price, GPLET, reduce utility rates for the life of the project, and significant city infrastructure improvements. So that's not just a developer coming and saying, I want to offer you a lot of money for your site. And we have to look at that in context. The other proposal, again, there's very little in the way for us to look at other than successful projects elsewhere. But I do think that what Mesa Housing Associates have demonstrated, they've been the pioneer to show that new housing can thrive. I appreciate the idea of going ahead doing market rate right now, because I believe that will serve as a catalyst for developers such as Art House and Artisan Developments and others to come and look to work with us there. So I would be in support of modifying our current agreement.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Mr. Richens.
Dennis, I'm glad you brought that up, because on its surface it does seem like, you know, they're giving away property, but there's a lot more to the value of property than just the value of the dirt. You know, and the other proposals have asked for, giblet tax abatements. They've asked for utility concessions. They've asked for a number of things that the other that Mesa Housing Associates has not asked for. So, I mean, if all things being equal, I would stack up those three deals against each other, and I would suspect that Mesa Housing Associates would come out on top because they're paying full freight on their utility. They're paying full freight on their permit fees. It's another utility customer that's been added to the, they haven't asked for any of those kind of concessions. And so, sometimes, as Mr. Wright said, when you look at a bunch of PowerPoint slides, it seems like a no-brainer. But when you dig a little deeper, as and you being a good businessman, you've got starting to pull the veneer back a little bit and you see what is really lying there. And so, my suspicion is that we're going to end up with all market rate apartments on this site from here on out, that there's not going to be another LIHTC project. That's my suspicion. That's why I wanted Mr. Gumetel. If it happens, it's not the end of the world to me, because he has brought the quality. He's going to finish out the block, and it's his pioneer spirit that came down here to build when nobody else would. And to me, there's a lot of value in that. So now the question I think that the mayor raised that has some validity is one of timing. Is there a difference between going forward with it now and waiting till after an election? And I think that's a valid question. I think it's a good question and one that we probably should wrestle with a little bit here. I don't know that it would make a big amount of difference if we waited a couple of weeks, if it changes all the valuations, if it changes how everybody's deals are going to get structured. I don't know. I just don't know the answer to that question. But I'm very comfortable moving forward now with this proposal because it's been consistent. It's been the quality we've asked for. The developers performed on everything that we've asked for. And Mesa has a long history of developers promising great projects that never came to fruition. And I've been part of promoting those over the years. Waveyard comes to mind. The 20 acres next to the Marriott come to mind. There's been a number of those kind of projects that have been proposed. So, I'm of the feeling that you have one in the hand, you don't wait for the two in the bush. It's the old adage. So I'm comfortable with the one that we have in the hand.
I'm sorry, Mr. Finter.
So I appreciate all the feedback. What's interesting to me, I'm an observer of the obvious, and what staff has done, and you shouldn't take this personally, is for a second time, you've brought us a kind of a broken process that we're going to have to make a really tough decision on. I thought we learned from the first one. That was awful experience. And now here again. So all of us are going to look and say, hey, we have three proposals. They came in kind of oddly. It's at the last minute, but we're asked to make tough decisions. And hearing the logic of Vice Mayor and others that have spoken, I'm supporting going ahead because I can count four votes. I do want to say this for Mr. Gumetel. We keep referencing the rough times in the middle of the big recession when it was scary to do anything. That individual and that company were there, and they always performed. I know they had to wrestle through some of the processes, but the city was wonderful working with them. And so here we are. Here's three proposals in a very broken system. If you're asking me to make a decision, I would go with the known successful the quantity, the individual, the proposal that's sitting before us. I think ideally I would love to wait, have some further appraisals, look at the process, but that's not what, we are here in a showdown now. So if you're asking me, I'm going to go with the person that's performed for years and years, done an amazing product, successful, does what he says he's going to do. If you're asking me, now you kind of asked me to make this decision on kind of a really broken up bit of information. I make the decision. I'm going to support the process. I would hope we fix the process for the new council and folks going forward so we don't have to do this a third time or different times for other folks. So anyway, I hope I said that as kindly as I intended it to be, but
so,
that's
Mayor,
where we're at.
That's a really good point. So, Council, what we need direction on, and the reason this process gets broken up is because of the agreement that was in place today with the current developer. We need to have a hard stop on the agreement. So what happens is it doesn't get the score, So he comes back in right afterwards to amend the existing agreement. If council will give, if that's what council needs in order to, for example, let's say he doesn't get scored again. If that's a concern and we need a clean cut, then what council, we would like the direction then is not have to go through this waiting game. You heard today, it's still lingering out there. And so we weren't in a position to say it was dead yet. But if we can agree that once the first round of scores comes out and the project doesn't make it, then that is the termination of the agreement. Then it gives us time to develop then a process going forward that then allows to say, okay, let's do a formal RFP process. Let's put out criteria. Let's put out the format of the presentation so it's thorough enough so that you don't have pieces. What happens now is, as others hear about proposals and amendments being brought in, they're trying to give council another option to be considered. We felt compelled to share all of that with the council because they've been asking since the last round, what's happened with the project? Is it moving forward? So that's where we kind of get stuck in this in-between stage. The easiest way would be to have a hard stop on the proposed agreement that once the scores come out from the Department of Housing, if they have not made that initial cut, then we terminate the agreement at that point. It doesn't continue lingering on for months afterwards. Because the longer it lingers on, then you start moving into the next round of LIHTC proposals, which we're already in. We already have developers out there asking questions about not just this site, but other sites. So that's the problem. We need a hard stop somewhere in this, whether it's right after that score comes out or sometime after. But we're technically, they could argue, we're waiting to see if somebody in that last round, maybe they don't perform and then they lose their credits. So that's the difficulty we're caught up with.
I'm sorry, Mr. Finner. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
why don't you finish your thought and we'll go to that. Mr.
Four. So yeah. I remember back, Waveyard, others, you've been brilliant at being able to do that. That's kept the city out of a lot of trouble and some hard feelings over the past years. I also, though, the irony is, for this site for Goldwater Institute, we did amend that process a couple of times trying to work for. So, you know, it's just, but I agree and I hope that we do find, you know, kind of a cutoff like okay. You've used successfully.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. Mr. Luna.
You know, thank you so much, Mr. Brady, for clarifying that. I also agree that we need to modify the development agreement. I know that Ms. Hugh Mantle has been really working diligently to move this project forward. And I think that we as a council need to go ahead and give him that latitude. He's worked very hard. He's done a wonderful project. So I'm going to be in support of moving the project forward. But we do really need to clearly fix the process because it's not fair for him or the other ones that have applied. And we need to make it an open process. We need to be transparent as we move forward. When we do with other projects, we have a number of pieces of acreage around the city downtown area that we just need to make sure that it's an open process and applicants have an opportunity to submit applications for that.
Thank you. I don't know that we need a motion. I mean, obviously, the consensus of the speakers here is to move forward in talking with, I guess, working out the details of amending the agreement with Mesa Housing Association, too. So I
Mayor,
think
you got the direction. Yes. If I could get one more piece of direction from the council. In our previous agreement, we were under time constraints, and we rushed through a development and purchase and sale agreement in a couple weeks' time. We would prefer to be given the latitude, knowing that we have significant amount of time before that LIHTC application is due, in order to be able to open up those agreements again and go beyond just a simple update to change the dates from 2016 to 2017, in order to make sure we didn't miss anything, and be able to bring back to you an agreement that's the best that we can do without stressing staff to try to rush it through and oftentimes miss things that we should have got.
But I think we can bring it before the end of the year.
Yes.
Yes.
I think last time the constraint was the March deadline
right.
with the Housing Association, right. and that deadline is still March. So right. you're right. I'm not aware of a drop-dead deadline.
But I think I'm assuming preference would be for this council to make the decision on this, to make that vote. So that's what we'll make sure that happens.
I'm sure that's Mr. Humantle's preference.
I was to the council, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Any additional questions or comments? Okay. The next item on our agenda then is item three, information pertaining to current job order contracting projects. Council, any questions or concerns regarding those? Hearing none, the next item is approval of minutes from an executive session held on September the 22nd. Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Thank you. That's approved. Item five is acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Is there a motion and a second? Thank you. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Thank you. Next item is hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, anything you'd like to share with us? Mr. Luna.
I just came from a conference in New York City relative to pre-K. It was quite informative, and we looked at different pre-K programs throughout the United States and their models, and it was just very informative and educational. And can I quickly say that tomorrow I have mobile office hours at the Multi-Generation Center, which is located on Adobe, just west of Power. Do you know the address?
7550
Adobe, East Adobe.
Thank you, and thank you for going to that conference. I'm looking forward to chatting and getting updated on all this good material you brought back. Any other comments or under conferences and meetings? Hearing none, Mr. Brady, can you update us on scheduling of meetings and general information?
It's going to get busy, so hang on. So there will be a household hazardous waste collection event this Saturday, October 15th, from 8 a.m. to noon. This one will be at the East Mesa Service Center, located at 6935 East Decatur Street. We encourage residents to bring their household hazardous waste, electronics, and appliances. It is a free event. This Saturday, we will have our sixth annual pumpkin splash, only in Arizona, from 1 to 3 p.m. So what it is, pumpkins are in the pool. Kids get to jump into the pool and pick out their pumpkin and haul it out of the pool. Celebrate Mesa will be also, it's also this Saturday, October 15th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And this will be at the Red Mountain Soccer Complex. We invite everybody out. It's a free event. A lot of booths, carnival rides and entertainment, and a lot of food trucks. There'll be a, let me see if I can say this right, Mactoberfest. Oh, I'm missing a word. Okay. Mactoberfest. Oktoberfest with a Mac in the front. Okay. This is another free event. We'll also be on Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Mesa Arts Center. They'll be on the North Patio. Invite everybody out for music and polka dancing. And then just remind the council, our next study session will be on, we'll have a council meeting. Our next study session will be Thursday, October 7th. No, we don't have we don't have one on the 17th. Sorry. We've canceled next week's study session on the 17th.
Okay.
Or on the 20th. Sorry. Not doing well here. No study session on the 20th. We'll have a council meeting on the 17th and no study session on the 20th. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Next item on our agenda is to convene an executive session regarding the two items of litigation against the city and for city clerk and city attorney reviews. Is there a motion to convene? Thank you. And a second. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. We are now in executive session.